latest news is the News Hotline, starring Roy Hudd with Janet Brown, Chris Emmett, and the Nick Rowley Quartet.
Thank you very much, folks, and welcome to the show.
Well,
that government blacklist on firms which break the pay code. Yes, John Lewis was one of the naughty ones, eh? Doesn't it shatter your faith when you can no longer trust a store where you've been shoplifting for years? It's really awful. Did you see about these Arab saboteurs putting mercury in Israeli oranges, eh? The Israelis are no mugs, though. They started selling them back to the Arabs as novelty thermometers.
I think so.
Well, another thing which caused quite a stir this week was that Judge Hill, who said that men who spend their dole money on drink should have their ears cut off. I dread to think what he'd do with men on the dole who have big families, wouldn't you? With Let's see what's been going on in industry. Well, at British Leyland, Michael Edwards is thinking he might have to dispose of two of his plants, one at Coventry and the rubber one in his office window. Their overseas department have found a fault in Leyland cars, and they want to recall all cars sold in America. You see that?
Embarrassing.
Because they can't recall selling any cars in America. And I see British Rail have been fined for having grease and dirt in their restaurant cars, eh? And what's worse, they're charging 16p a cup for it.
I think so.
And this week hasn't failed us coming up with its quota of unlikely little stories, eh? What about the man who took a goat into his local pub? Did you see that, eh? Of course, quite a rumpus, that goat. You'll like this. It was one of those pubs where the management refused to take responsibility for customers' hats and goats. A report out this week has claimed that golf is good for your sex life. I mean, they do come up with them, don't they, really? Well, I suppose golf could be good for your sex life. That's if you don't mind a caddy standing by all the time telling you what to use. This week the Russians have been on army manoeuvres, and they've let NATO forces stand and watch. The idea has been to see what would happen in the event of war. Well, now we know, don't we, eh? The Russians will do the fighting, and our lot will stand and watch. Well, we've got that new field gun now, haven't we, eh? That new NATO field gun, which is so accurate that it can hit a house 18 miles away. So if you're listening at 18 Sycamore Avenue, Welling, watch out. And finally, we've had that story confirmed about people from other planets listening into our radio and television programs, eh? So, if there is any alien being listening out there with a pointed head, a scaly face, and green eyes sticking out on stalks, I'm going to be late home for dinner, love.
And now, here is the Hudlines open wine.
Can we have the first caller, please?
Hello. I've just been in the dock, up before Judge Hill.
Ah, yes. He's the judge who recommended that men who drink away their dole money should have their ears cut off, isn't he?
Pardon?
Next caller, please.
Good evening. Spider-Man here. Now, this business about Nora Perloff, the political correspondent. People are saying that I closely followed her for months out of blind paranoia and hatred.
Well, didn't you?
No, I had my pipe caught in a cold collar.
Next caller, please.
I am the oldest man in the Soviet Union, Ovich. I am 143 years old. My secret, I've never ever indulged in sexual activity.
Well, what keeps you going?
Anticipation.
I want a jog.
Ah, are you part of the government's Keep Fit campaign?
No, I'm an out-of-work ventriloquist.
Next caller, please.
Judge Starforth Hill here. I'm the judge who said that men on the dole who drink should have their ears cut off.
I don't see how that would prevent them drinking.
I do. I got the idea when I was an army officer out in India. Chappy there was a drunkard, so they chopped his ears off, and that stopped him drinking straight away.
How did he do that?
His hat fell over his mouth.
Next caller, please.
Hello, Mr. Mudd. This report about just 2 million women who are unhappy in bed.
Yes?
I don't like it.
Why not?
It's extremely cramped in here.
Lovely, thank you. Well, I suppose this week's big story has been the Naughty Nine, the government's blacklist of firms who've defied the pay policy. And the list seems to be getting longer. And the longer it gets, the more nervous employers become. Ah, come in, Miss Jenkins. Now, look, we've got to be careful about this pay settlement, otherwise the government will be down on us like there's no tomorrow.
Well, we're not allowed to offer more than 10%, but we can get round the pay policy by very subtly adapting our employees' pension scheme.
How do we do that?
We let them retire at 16.
You're a case and a half, Miss Jenkins. There's no doubt about it.
Thank you.
Now, look, you've been a bit extravagant with these black felt draft excluders, haven't you?
Black felt draft excluder?
Hello, that fooled you. That was me peering under the door. Hands up in the air and don't try anything clever.
Why not?
Because I won't understand it, that's why. Now, back to the wall, I say. Back to the wall, back to the wall, back to the wall.
Just a minute, are you ordering us around?
No, I'm summing up the government's position. Okay, Blue Eyes, spill the beans. I want to know if you've cracked the pay code.
Well?
You heard me, beautiful. I said, have you cracked the pay code?
Well, we...
I won't ask you again, have you cracked the pay code?
All right. Yes, we've cracked the pay code.
Oh, good. Perhaps you could explain it to me, then.
We know our rights. All we need to tell you is our name, rank, and VAT number.
Watch the lip, blabbermouth. Otherwise, you might wake up in the river wearing concrete pyjamas. Get me? I think I'm getting rather good at this, don't you?
No.
Look here, I don't understand. I thought the pay policy was voluntary.
That's right, like breathing is. Now then, I'm adding you to my blacklist.
Ah.
Your store has been working against the national interest. Only last week you sold Wedgie Bennett's chair.
Well, how was that against the national interest?
It wasn't wired up properly, was it? Also, in your book department, I found this.
What?
A scurrilous piece of literature that outlines policies which are in total contradiction of this government's actions.
What is it?
The last Labour manifesto. You see, what you businessmen just don't realise are the implications of breaking the 10% limit.
What implications?
Well, it would mean everyone would start pressing for a wage increase.
So?
And soon everyone would be earning a sizable wage, and you realise what that would mean?
No, what?
Well, everyone would start enjoying themselves. We can't have that, can we? I'm going to introduce a vicious measure that will inevitably result in the total financial collapse of your firm.
You're going to impose sanctions?
No, I'm going to have it nationalized.
Well, a report this week from an American space scientist says that alien beings on other planets could be watching our television. How are they affected?
Greetings, husband. The Earth program crossroads has just gone off.
I wondered what the smell was.
That is your supper in the alternating current oven.
What are we having?
Alternating currents. Now, go and wash your hands and faces. And after that, I want you to have a word with our son.
Elucidate?
Yes, I am very worried about him watching too much Earth television. Especially that multicolored swap shop. You know the oscillating analytical selective calculator we bought him?
Yes.
He took it out today and came back with a six-piece jigsaw puzzle.
Boy, it will be boy. Here he is now. Son, your mother tells me you are watching too much Earth television. Is that affirmative?
Oh, love ya, baby. Cushy, girl, cushy, girl.
That's the worst Bruce Waters I've ever heard.
Just for that, you can go to bed early.
But, Father, Celebrity Squares is on.
Okay, so we all go to bed early. Now get ready for supper.
It is almost ready. Will you cast the tablet?
Yes, I'll just switch the television on.
Hi there, guys and gals. How's about that, then?
Another old Tarzan film. I want to watch the documentary.
Which one?
Doctor Who.
It's not real, Father. It's all done in a studio.
Of course it is real. Remember that Dalek he shot last week?
Yes.
Sat next to him at school.
Don't gobble your food, son.
It wasn't me, Mother. Look, a strange vehicle has materialized near the sideboard.
It is like a time machine with radar control.
It's opening. Look, it's Doctor Who. Greetings, are you from the BBC?
Yes, have you been watching Earth Television?
That's right.
Can I see your license, please?
Well, it seems some current reports suggest that modern students may be in financial trouble and unable to find the money for rent and food. Well, just as long as they're not having to go without essentials, that's all I say. So, we've dramatized the problems of an average pair of love-struck swats in a contemporary melodrama entitled The Sorry Tale of the Starving Scholar.
Here, I think I'll put on another sweater.
Oh, I do wish those music students wouldn't play their xylophone so loudly.
That's me pulling me sweater down over me ribs, mate.
Never mind, love. Come and warm your hands on this blazing brazier.
It's too cold for that sort of thing now, sir. I know. We can both warm up. We can each suck a cough sweet and then breathe on each other, eh? Let's hope that tonight at least we'll be spared a visit from the evil, loathsome, repellent, vile, and altogether not nice Sir Jasper. A man so merciless and cruel he makes Attila the Hun look like Bernard Manning. Or is it Bernard Manning look like Attila the Hun? And if I'm not mistaken, here he is now.
Well, my pathetic pair of louse-like, lingering, long-haired Leobold. This time you shall not grasp through my slip so easily.
Don't you mean slip through your grasp?
I know what I mean, dear.
Oh, have pity. Have pity, evil Sir Jasper. We are but impoverished children.
Look, can't you see how undernourished we are? Why, Sally's got so small, weak and helpless. Last week she was mugged by a ladybird. I mean, we're so poor, even Les Dawson thinks jokes about us are in bad taste.
Oh, no.
Silence! Well, you know why I'm here, don't you?
No.
Yes,
you don't mean...
I do.
You wouldn't.
Yes.
Wouldn't what?
I don't know. I've forgotten after all. yes, I recall now. I'm going to throw you two tiresome genies out. Out.
We'll see about that, you foul fiend. And if you don't leave us alone, I'll tickle you some more.
Drat an octopus, drat. Still you defy me. Still you resist my will, and so I have only one last option, one last thing to say to you.
What's that?
Look, I'm tired of all this. Can't you go and squat in somebody else's house?
Well, if you've been watching TV and reading papers this week, you may have seen the advertisements of the Look After Yourself campaign, in which the government is helping you to help yourself. Sounds like Dennis Healy thought it up, doesn't it? So it's the health kick for all of us. And here is a government spokesman.
Fat? Overweight? Pot-bellied? Out of condition? Flabby? Short of breath? Bags under the eyes?
All right, Chris, don't get personal. Let's start the sketch.
First and foremost, are you a 60-a-day man?
If so, pack it in and take up smoking instead.
Next, food. Here is a good diet for the day. Breakfast, one half-fresh grapefruit. Lunch, another half-fresh grapefruit. Supper, a completely fresh grapefruit.
Secondly, always leave the table feeling as though you could eat a little more. A bit frustrating, but you save on table.
Then supplement your diet with essential vitamins A, B, C, D, and E. These can all be found in any bowl of alphabet soup.
And now for some other steps you can take. For maximum fitness, we suggest skipping. Skip breakfast, skip work, skip lunch, skip supper, and after that, a good night's skip.
Now, jogging. Get up first thing in the morning, get out of bed, and then run home.
And if you live in a block of high-rise flats, always use the stairs. But don't let the caretaker catch you.
Now, here is a really easy exercise for all you lazy men. Up, down, up, down, up, down. That's right. Now the other eyelid. Up, down.
And now an exercise for you, madam. Chest out, two, three. Chest in, two, three. Chest out, two, three. Come in the hurry.
A word of caution. Don't lift anything with bent knees.
It's much easier with your hands.
Now, skincare. Here's what you ladies can do if you have crow's feet around the eyes. Bang them on the toes with a claw hammer.
But if you really want to reach peak fitness and get rid of those excess pounds, go to a health farm. They'll rook you like nobody's business.
And finally, sleep is all important. Remember that you spend a third of your life in bed.
So if you're just coming up to 30, remember it's almost time to get up. Here's an unusual story. A Somerset reverend is leaving his parish to become a cowboy in Canada. See, that makes sense, really, I suppose. Perhaps he's always wanted to do a sermon on a mount. But will he survive? Will he survive the rigors of the frontier? The West, the big country, where buffaloes roam the plain and the land is covered with plenty. Yes, this is the wild virgin land of the West. This is Somerset. Our saga begins with the departure from England of a small country reverend who plans to make a new life in Kneebones Creek, Arizona. Oh, no! Oh! I won't play if you keep banging the lid down. See? Who's that a-getting off the stage? Well, I'll be... It looks... It is. It's Billy the Vicar. And he's holding a pair of pearl-handled hassocks. Pearl, leave the Vicar's hassocks alone.
Hello, everybody. I mean, howdy, your partners all.
I see you don't pack any six guns.
Never did, Mom. You could use Chester.
Yeah, you could. I used to rock with General Custer and Buffalo Bill and Jesse James.
You did?
Yeah, and then the horse collapsed. And now... Now, I'll run the saloon. Now, where you from, Reverend?
I'm a fugitive from Texas, England.
Texas, England?
Yes. Income taxes, fur taxes...
Right over there.
Well, I'll be hornswoggled. Sure, it's a nice place you got here, but why all the sawdust?
That's last night's furniture. Big Bill Campbell, 1939.
Hey, looky here, Chester. Jed Reardon's here with the Clampets.
Well, tell him to see the doctor. I can't do nothing with his Clampets. He's never been the same since he divorced his wife for mental cruelty.
Don't you mean mental cruelty?
No mental. She kept banging his head in the fireplace.
Chester, two strangers have just rode into town and they look real mean.
What?
Could it be that they're after you, Chester? You'd better get a running.
No, Bill. I've been running all my life, Bill. I'm tired of running.
comes a time when a man's gotta do what a man's gotta do. I ain't running.
But Chester...
Don't interrupt Lou Graves in the audience.
My old ma used to say to me, I want you to grow up to be a man, Chester. I ain't running.
Quite right, too, you worthless, no-good critter. Now, look, this is a bad town, and I intend to see that it's cleaned up. And here come my two deputies now, look.
Not that 18-stone pipe-smoking deaconess with the choir boy eating baked beans off the collecting plate.
You don't mean?
Yep, Butch Cassock and the Sunday Hines Kid.
Well, this week is the Chinese New Year, and BBC Two is having a special inscrutable week of Chinese programs. This is the year of the horse, and the Chinese will be celebrating it on the London streets in their own way. As good an opportunity as any for Jim Callaghan to get down there and win a few more immigrant votes.
Well, here I am in Chinatown. I've come round to woo the Chinese voter.
Hello! I'm Wu, the Chinese voter.
Hello, Mr. Wu.
Confucius. Hey, Sai. He who eats sweet and sour in year of horse gets the gallop.
Well, you're certainly celebrating your new year in style.
Oh, that's right.
Lovely to see the streamers.
The streamers.
The colourful costumes, the carrying poles and lanterns, and the fireworks.
Ah, that's no fireworks. Chef left chip pan on hot plate at Happy Valley Restaurant.
Well, I think I ought to start getting in there to start canvassing.
Now, wait one moment, please. First, we have the parade of dragons.
Oh, look, here comes the dragon now.
Good evening.
So sorry, Maggie, easily done. Maggie, have you met Mr. Wu?
Enchanted.
Me, likewise. Like glowworm in daytime. Delighted. Tom Smith Crackers, 1957.
Well, what are you doing here, Jim? I see you're dressed to appeal to the Chinese voter.
Oh, you spotted it, have you? You mean the lampshade on me head? And the parasol and the little wooden shoes?
Yes, but what do you think of his pigtail, Mr. Wu?
I like it, but pig pretty damn curious.
Tell me, Jim, how did you get your face all yellow?
Well, Maggie, you try eating custard with chopsticks, it's not easy. Anyway, you can talk standing there in your sarong.
And my feet are killing me. These little flip-flops are most uncomfortable.
And I expect the shoes pinch a bit as well. Oh, Jim, you're evil.
Oh, manners.
So, you enjoyed Happy Valley as well, eh? Good.
Well, I must say, Mr. Wu, it is wonderful to meet your community with their happy yellow faces and black and white striped tunics.
Them not my people.
Oh, dear. But I've just spent half an hour explaining our immigration policy to a Belisha Beacon. Pity, then. He seemed quite sympathetic, too.
You made a great mistake there, Maggie. Whereas we in the Labour Party welcome all Chinese people here.
All Chinese people.
And I'm speaking from the bottom of my heart.
And you, Mr. Wu?
From the back of my throat.
But it must be so nice for you to be living in a democracy. You don't have it in China.
Then how come we have biggest population in world? Democracy comes soon. At moment China like blindfold man in cowfield. Just going through motion.
But first, you have to strengthen your economy.
Chinese economy like pajama cord of Cyril Smith. Only just make ends meet.
So, tell us more about your country.
I come from a wonderful place. To wake up at rise of sun. To sound of tinkling of battle wattles. To look out of window and see return of fishermen. And laughing peasants with baskets of trout on hand. and hustle and rustle of marketplace.
Where exactly is your home?
Hostel near Billingsgate Fish Market.
Well, Maggie, I don't think there's any point in staying here trying to get votes if we're both here. I think the Chinese can make up their own minds which is the party for them. Isn't that so, Mr. Wu?
Right so. Advice of Chinaman to all British political parties is same as from Chinese barber to man with pigtail.
What's that?
Get nutty.
Well, it's certainly been a good week for dog lovers because we've a conference at the World Kennel Club and the week ending up with Cruft's Dog Show. So London is full of big tweedy ladies showing their champions. Just one way of keeping their dogs out of the rain. So, over to Olympia. Once again, it's the Kennel Club Conference, to which every dog lover comes. It's so nice to see all the top breeders and meet all our pedigree chums. Oh,
sorry. Hey, look there, look. If I didn't know better, I'd swear they understood every word you said.
What, you mean the dogs?
No, the judges.
Well, just now as I walked down the pavement, I stepped in some old doggy dudes. Well, I'm just popping in to say thank you. I'm wearing my mother-in-law's shoes.
I say, does anybody know the result of the sheepdog trial?
Yes, they were all found guilty. Well, we've had our bulldog for ages, and the wife looks just like him, he said. Well, this morning, I took the wife walkies. True. What was that last night in bed?
I say, does your dog do tricks?
Frequently.
Yes. Well, the other day, my dog jumped through a wall of flames into a kerosene tank.
What happened?
Oh, nothing much. He just went,
whoop.
My wolfhound's been served by a Dachshund. We arrived on the scene just too late.
How on earth did the little dog manage?
His friends put him up to it, mate.
And I bet it was business doing pleasure with him. Tell me, why is it that Irish wolfhounds have flat heads?
They will keep chasing parked cars. We want to have fun at the weekend. I know where the action is at. I'm going to pop down to Cruft's Dog Show and run through the hall with a cat.